This is Fresh Air. I'm TV critic David Bianculli. On broadcast television, the February rating sweeps ended Wednesday. Sweeps periods are when the networks compete aggressively to attract the largest audiences, because those are the numbers used to set advertising rates for the next 3 months. That's why, now that the February sweeps are over, almost all network shows are reruns. And it's also why we're about to face a new onslaught of reality TV shows. Reality shows are a low-cost, low-risk way of rolling the dice and hoping for a sudden hit. If it doesn't catch on, no big deal. You finish out the cycle and replace it with something else, or scrap it immediately if the ratings are that low. But if it hits big, it's a major moneymaker. Yet a decade into the current cycle of broadcast TV reality shows, much of the novelty has worn off. Even the durable programs have to rely on tricks to keep audiences coming back. Donald Trump's The Apprentice series on NBC has upped the ante with celebrity editions for a while now, even though its definition of celebrity is way too generous. This Sunday, the newest cycle of Celebrity Apprentice premieres, and the loosest cannon in its arsenal is Gary Busey, whose level of quirkiness has fueled other reality shows in the past. So here he is, misbehaving again, with predictable unpredictability. And that's the problem with reality TV this year. Even when the programs aren't familiar reruns, the contestants are. On CBS, we have former Survivor contestants Russell and Boston Rob fighting it out on new teams. On the same network's The Amazing Race, we have 16 losing teams from former editions lining up to try again. Another problem is that even a new show can seem old because its parts are so familiar. ABC this weekend launches Secret Millionaire, which is an unwatchable ripoff of the nearly as manipulative Undercover Boss on CBS. Is there any broadcast TV reality show with a spark of originality these days? Yes, there is. And, like Secret Millionaire and Celebrity Apprentice and The Amazing Race, it shows up this Sunday. It's NBC's America's Next Great Restaurant, and it comes from the producers of Bravo's Top Chef. There are two variations that make this new show stand out. One is that instead of having cooks compete for prizes or a dream job in a top restaurant, as they do on Top Chef and Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen, this time they compete for investors and the chance to launch a dream business. That's a familiar idea, too, from such shows as ABC's Shark Tank. But in America's Next Great Restaurant, all the contestants are competing in the same category for the backing to open a chain of three restaurants. They're trying to impress the likes of chefs Bobby Flay and Curtis Stone, and this time, the panel isn't just judging, it's mentoring. Here's the way the narrator describes it in Sunday's premiere.
Each week, the contestants will work side by side with the investors to further develop their concepts. They'll hire chefs, design a uniform, operate their own food trucks, and build their restaurants. And each week, someone will go home.
I'm sorry, we will not be investing in your restaurant.
I know that I'm a good chef.
I'm going to miss her so much.
The stakes couldn't be any higher.
The stakes, in that context, don't refer to juicy grilled pieces of meat. But those come later, along with casual restaurants built around grilled cheese sandwiches, Indian fusion, and meatballs. In episode one, the judges hear the pitches, taste the food, and select the finalists. In week two, the contestants are taken to an open-air mall to set up booths and serve one sample item to a crowd of 1,000 people, each of whom has a vote. And the judges are checking them out, too, passing judgment on everything from the food to the logo and even the name. Here are Bobby Flay and Curtis Stone sampling the wares of one contestant who's serving up small bowls of meatballs. He's nervous as the judges taste a sample, happy as they ask for more, then nervous again as they turn around and start questioning some of the customers, asking them specifically about the name he's chosen for his would-be restaurant.
What have we got here?
Hey, what's happening?
We got saucy balls, sir. How are you?
The amount of sauce compared with a meatball, they really are saucy balls. It's good, sir.
Thank you.
Talk to us about the name and the logo.
Putting grandma up there, to me it shows that you're going to have a nice home-cooked meal here.
Do you think that the name Saucy Balls, do you think there's anyone that might find it a little bit bad taste?
I think we'll attract a lot more people than we'll offend with that name.
You want another one? You all right?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah! The food is delicious. Doesn't offend anybody?
Nobody's offended by it?
No, it's not that offensive.
If you're with your friend, but you wouldn't be like, hey, Grandma, let's go eat at Sauce and Balls, you know?
I suspect that with this show, as with American Idol, a finalist need not win to succeed. After a few weeks of exposure on a show like this, they might find other investors eager to help them make their dreams come true. But for that to happen, America's Next Great Restaurant has to last a few weeks. And most new TV shows, like most new restaurants, fail quickly. But America's Next Great Restaurant, with a tone that is more positive than negative, is one show I expect will beat the odds. The judges are sincere and likable. The show taps into a common dream. It makes me smile, and at times, it even makes me hungry.